We read this afternoon from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we first read verses 1 to 6 and then 24 to 26. Hebrews 11, 1 to 6 and verse 24, we should read here verse 29 and not 26. 24, 29, then first of all 1 to 6. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do will drown. Amen. We are going through a series on Christian discipleship, and this is the second message. The best way to learn about discipleship, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and to learn about giving our life, is to look at a great man of God, to see how he did it, and to pattern our life after him. Here in Hebrews 11, the Bible of course gives us a gallery of faithful, godly Christian leaders and people. And to learn about discipleship this afternoon, I take the example of Moses in these verses, in verses 24 and 26. It is a good example for every one of us, and especially for young people. In a sense, Moses was young when he gave up everything. Very hard to do. But in his youth, he gave up treasures of Egypt, all the status, all the reputation, dignity and promises, to follow the God he discovered to be true. So let's take the example of Moses this afternoon to study something about Christian discipleship. Again, what is discipleship simply? It is following the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering our life to him absolutely, and that means Christ takes control of our lives and we willingly serve him. The example of Moses. In these verses, we have Moses making a very decisive choice in life. When you come to an age like this, you have finished your secondary education, you are thinking about your future, and you have to make important decisions, you also must think about your spiritual life, how you are going to live for God. Moses made a choice. Put behind Egypt and follow his God. So the title this afternoon is Faith's Choice. First of all, what Moses gave up. Secondly, what Moses chose. And then why he made that choice. Let me read to you verse 25. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What Moses gave up? Moses gave up three things. First of all, the text tells us in verse 24 that he gave up his rank, his greatness, and his status, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We all are familiar with the history of Moses, and I must say to children and young people here, the true edition is not done by Hollywood. The true edition and account of Moses' life is in the scriptures, in Exodus, and what is said here in Hebrews 11. It is a familiar history. Moses was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And of course, the daughter of Pharaoh favored their little child, adopted him, gave him education, got a Hebrew lady, that is Moses' own mother, to nurture this child. And he was given all the education of Egypt. Learned men, given the wisdom of the ways of Egypt, he was certainly destined to be a very great man. The Bible never tells us there was any offer given to him to be Pharaoh, but certainly his future was very bright, very good, promising, a very great man, if he only continued to be Pharaoh's son. Now the temptation for him to pursue this honor, of course, is very great. It is a great offer. Rank, power, honor, life, status. Now these are things that people want, not just politicians. Men want to be great. We want to make a name for ourselves. If we can only be someone in the eyes of the world, then we think that others will esteem us, estimate us highly, respect our lives and our achievements. And this is the society today that we have become: competitive, success oriented. If we only can gain success, make a name, then we would be respected and admired. But notice in the life of Moses, the Bible here tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you do that? For the sake of Christian discipleship and the Lord Jesus Christ, to give up that status to follow Christ. Then he gave up, notice in verse 25, the pleasures of sin. Again, this is a man brought up to be the prince of Egypt. He could at any time order people to perform for him. Pleasures of every kind was at his feet. Sensual pleasure. He can have all the women if he wants to, because certainly people envied him, and certainly the women in the courts and in the high places. And of course, he was learned. He enjoyed wisdom. He could indulge himself in intellectual pleasure. After all, Egypt was the place where they had great libraries, and the wisdom of the ancient world was stored in Egypt. Moses could have pursued that kind of life. There are some who enjoy the kind of pleasure, intellectual pleasure, sitting down enjoying the great wisdom of a great man in the world. Moses put that away. Of course, he could have social pleasure. People certainly wanted to be with him, associate with him. There's advantage to associate yourself with a man like this, because you can get into high society. Certainly he had the pleasure of social life, dining, drinking good wine, be served, indulge in parties. But the text here tells us he gave up these things for the sake of Christ. Then he gave up riches in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Riches, treasures in Egypt. Pyramids, precious gems. Egypt, of course, had a lot of enormous wealth, a great treasury. He was prince, brought up in the courts. All these things were his to possess and to enjoy. Moses had a great fortune. Again, this is a very great temptation. It is the thing that has lured many young people away from church, away from Christ. It's a strong temptation. Just ask anyone here in this congregation or in your neighborhood or in school, at work, what can money do for your life? Ask the simple question, what can money do for your life? There will be many answers. Today in China, economy is thriving. Young people are becoming rich. If you read the press, sometimes you become quite surprised at how this many young Chinese people are spending their wealth. They're enjoying so much wealth. One of them in the 40s bought a plane. Never happened in Chinese history. A private individual buying a plane, enjoying his own luxurious life. Another young person bought an island. That is the kind of wealth, that is the kind of life that wealth can bring you. Bible tells us here Moses gave up that fortune. Can you do that for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the church, it is always very inspiring, moving, encouraging when suddenly a young person comes and say, I want to give my life to serve the church. Stop his university education, make a roundabout change and turn in life and say, I study for the ministry. This is not something God calls every one of us to do. But for a young man to do this, he is doing what Moses here did. Putting away the treasures, the fortune, the status, the reputation, and serving Christ faithfully. So he gave up rank and greatness. He gave up pleasures. He gave up riches. And one thing I want to impress in your life is that Moses did all these things when he was still young. 40 years old. Moses lived much longer than that. 40 years old. Prime age. Many things to do. Still unmarried. But in the prime of his life, he gave up everything. He refused the world, still in his good health. It is very easy for a person to say, well, I've come to the point in my life that I realize that I must give up all these things because my health is so poor, it's damaged, it's spoiling. I'm rotting at home. I have nothing to gain. It's easy for a person in that kind of state and say, what is there for me to pursue? Nothing else. I give it all up. But here is a man in his prime, unspoiled in his health, good fortune, and gave everything up to follow his God. What he really gave up was the world. Not long ago, Pastor Dan had preached that sermon from 1 John 2:15, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the things Moses put away for the sake of his God. Then of course this text teaches us what Moses chose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the fear of God. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Moses gave up three things. In a sense, Moses also chose three things. First of all, he chose sufferings and afflictions. He did this willingly. No one forced him. Not that he was dragged and persecuted. He came to a point in his lies that he chose this voluntarily, and to suffer for the sake of his God. Sufferings and afflictions. Now you must understand the kind of sufferings that he chose. It's the sufferings that come to a person who is a slave. He suffered together with his brethren in their slavery. Imagine how a slave suffers under the hands of Pharaoh and all the taskmasters. Beaten, exposed in the hot sun, not enough food, not enough rest. And when they're not doing their work, they are beaten to the point of fighting for breath and life. Some of them killed. And because they are slaves, they are despised, they are mocked, they are almost considered as people with no reputation and no rights and no freedom, completely under the hands of the taskmaster. Afflicted in many ways, hated. And here Moses, this leader of the Hebrews, chose all these sufferings. And he knew, of course, the moment he became a deliverer to speak for God in the courts of Pharaoh, the moment he chose that, he knew that he would be threatened with death. But still unafraid, he chose sufferings, he chose afflictions. Let me say this, in a certain degree, when you become a Christian, that is what you must suffer. Maybe not the kind of violence and beating, shame, despised maybe by relatives who don't understand your Christianity, despised by friends when they say that you are so clean cut, when they are really so different in their culture, in the way they dress. Despised. Many Christians suffer that too. Then notice, he chose the company of a despised people, the people of God. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You must understand, the people of God at the time, the Hebrews, was only a small community. It's not that there is a people of God somewhere else in Mesopotamia. There was a people of God which is quite large in Assyria, in Babylon. It was only a small community of covenant people in Egypt. And people must be wondering, is there a God like this? After all, a God only of a tribal people? He left high society, the high life. And then he identified himself with this place, this small congregation. Of course, I say all his life he had luxury, he has riches, he has a lot of things. But now he cast his lots with all these slaves. Yes, an amazing man. Sometimes if you think about it, you must consider how much he has sacrificed for the sake of the church. Small community and all slaves. No impressive leaders. Forsaken and despised. But he chose to be their friend, their fellow. When he saw the Hebrews, two Hebrew men fighting, he came to bring reconciliation. He had a heart for these Hebrew men. Certainly learned it from his own mother in his very young age. And when he saw an Egyptian taskmaster bullying a Hebrew, he went out in rage. And defending and protecting the Hebrews, he killed the Egyptian. That was his zeal for the people of God. And later on, of course, when he received a call from God, he became more than a friend. He became a leader of these slaves. And he went back to the courts of Egypt to present himself as a leader of a despised people. Certainly the officers who knew Moses despised him. Look at Moses. Once upon a time with all this crown and glory, and now he is a leader of these slaves and these people of God. Look at his clothing. Look at his shoes. Look at his unclean face. He chose humiliation. All this means that their persecutions was his persecution. Their shame became his shame. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Christ, you confess Christ to be a leader of sinners who are saved. You must never be ashamed of that. Then what did he choose? Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Reproach, scorn, mockery. Here in Asian community and culture, of course, we are very careful of saving our own face. Okay to be poor. And that happens many times with people who are rich and then suddenly bankrupt. They will prefer not to work than to go out be a taxi driver or work maybe in a restaurant. You know why? For fear that in a restaurant he carries a dish and then he serves someone, that person may be a client that used to be someone that serves him. It's embarrassing, humiliating. For the sake of saving face, some will just stay at home and not do anything. Better be poor than to lose your face. One of the worst things, of course, is to suffer that. People laugh at you and get you become mocked. You can imagine the contempt and the mockery that Moses suffered. If I may use modern language, probably they would say about this man, moron, idiot, foolish, stupid. Give up all the crown and glory for the sake of his God. The reproach he suffers, the Bible text tells us in verse 26, he suffers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, brings out a very interesting question. Christ and Moses lived different times. How is it here the Bible says that the reproach that he suffers for Christ? Now this leads us to the last part of the sermon. Why did he choose all these things? Gave up all these things, chose to be with the people of God, chose to suffer the reproach of Christ, and choose to be a leader of a despised people. Now before we answer that question and understand more about his faith and understanding of Christ, I want you to consider two facts. Very important facts. First of all, Moses was an intelligent man. We're not reading in the life of Moses someone who is ordinary, someone who says, well, since I have no glory, no crown, it makes sense that I follow some God and then at least I live in a community of people who can accept me. This is a great man, educated. And he lives with a people that is despised. Why did he do this? Giving up all his education and wisdom. Then consider the second fact which I mentioned. No one forced him to do this. Acted on his own. He left everything. Certainly if Moses had that time, I could imagine his wife trying to stop him. Are you turning mad that you give up all these things? He made that choice alone. And here is a very important lesson about discipleship. Important that in the Reformed Church we learn this. Children come to church with us. They are brought up in the church. They are also God's children. But there must come a time in a children's life, and you young people, that you must take personal responsibility for your Christianity. Mustn't depend on your parents anymore. You must say that you follow Christ, because this is personally what I want to do. You make a personal decision to confess Christ in your life. Now the question, why did he give up all these things? What made him do it? And here there's only one answer, and that answer is in verse 24, and that is how the text begins. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It is
the energy of faith, the power of faith. Faith made him understand many things that he before did not understand. Faith opened his eyes to see that Christ was better than the riches of this world. And this is how Moses see his own life. What he did, what he suffered, he did it for Jesus Christ. I can say this because of this thing called faith. Faith is extraordinary. Faith is not just an activity, a gift that is only for one time. Faith is able to transport you to another time, dimension, to another world that is beyond this life. Moses, though he stood thousands of years before Christ, but faith is able to open his eyes and cause him to see the future. Christ on the cross, Christ's glory, Christ and the gift of salvation he gives at the cross, and the righteousness that he brings. And because faith could make Moses see what Christ did on the cross, Moses was willing to do this. Now the text is very careful in the wordings. It says what he suffered was the reproach of Christ. When he bore that pain, that beating, and that humiliation, he could picture also at the same time the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he became a deliverer and he brought the Hebrews out of Egypt in the Exodus, he could see at the same time Christ taking people out of the bondage of sin. And as he stood at the Red Cross and a miracle was revealed and the waters opened, he could see Christ opening the gates of heaven and bring sinners into eternity. He saw Christ by faith. Faith, I've said many times, is very extraordinary. Maybe you young people are trying to understand your Christian faith. Many questions, maybe yet unable to define many things. But this is one thing that is so basic you learn, must learn to appreciate. The glory of Christ, the beauty of his salvation, and the extraordinary character of your faith. If you understand that, you transform your life. You are no ordinary person in the eyes of your God. He puts that faith in your life, the confession, to make you understand Jesus Christ. So faith in the life of Moses opened his eyes to realize eternal realities, so that he understand that eternal things are much better than things that is here on earth. So what is it that you pursue? What is it that you're after? Fame? Wealth? And the challenge of discipleship is this: are you willing to follow Christ than to follow these things? Do you prefer God than this world? We're not saying here in application that you must desert your wealth, give up your education. We're not speaking about things like this. We're speaking about something that is more fundamental. In fact, my personal encouragement to every one of you is that you study very hard. And if possible, go for degrees that can make you extremely useful. And do that as a Christian, so that you can witness to many people in other offices. But having said that, this is the fundamental thing. You must prefer Christ than these things. You must prefer Christ than honor. Prefer Christ than fame. Prefer Christ than having a good life in Singapore and relaxing and enjoying your riches. Christ must be first. So again, you are back to what we discussed in the first sermon about discipleship. The thing you must learn to do is to learn how to give up. And Moses did that. Now, are you willing to give up for the sake of Christ? What is your choice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you to humble ourselves in your presence and to acknowledge that we need the gift of faith to teach us to make the right choice. Oh God, help us to give up our life and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for each and every one of us that you may open our eyes to see that Christ is more beautiful and more glorious, and that we should prefer Christ above everything else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.